You're welcome. So, Lord, I thank you for our time tonight in this Bible study. I thank you that you bless the fellowship that we'll have, that you bless the word. Give Olivia the word to speak. And I thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
And thank you. So if you guys want to follow along with me, so we're doing Ruth chapter 4. So last week we found out that, you know, Boaz and Ruth, you want to indirect that there is another kinsman redeemer, which is closer to her late husband's like bloodline, I guess. So that's kind of where we left off. He gave Ruth 6 measures of barley, and saying, you know, don't go home to your mother-in-law like empty-handed. And then that's kind of where we left off. Suspension. So in Ruth 4, verses 1, it says, meanwhile, Boaz went up to town gate and sat there. When the king's redeemer had mentioned came along, Boaz said, come over here, my friend, and sit down. So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, sit here, and they did so. Then he said, the kinsman redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling a piece of land that belonged to her brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of the people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you do not, tell me, so I will know, for no one has the right to do except you. I am next in line. So basically in town, I guess town square, if that makes any sense. So he brought all these people to make sure that he's doing the right thing, asks for their opinion, and we see, I truly love that Boaz, you know, wants to make sure that he's doing everything right in God's eyes. So, and someone says, and then next in line, I will redeem it, he said. So, verses 5, then Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth, the Moabites, you acquire the dead border to maintain the name of the dead with this property, because he might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot. So here we see that the person who Boaz has said or mentioned to Ruth earlier, he said, no, I can't. Basically, I can't do it. Then it goes on, at this, the king's redeemer, then I cannot redeem it because, okay, sorry, I lost my mind. Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transaction in Israel, which is kind of interesting. Nowadays, we don't do that. So it's kind of cool. It gives us a little kind of history lesson. So that's how they did it. Then in verse 8, it says, so the kings and redeemers said to Boaz, buy it yourself. And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. And that's the two sons. So Ruth's late husband. I also have required Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from along his family or from the towns recorded. Today you are witnesses. Then the elders and all those at the gate said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who's coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like the Perez whom Tamar bore to Judah. So basically they're, I guess, like a wedding happens, or I don't know how to say, not much celebration, but the transfer of basically the land and things happen. It's kind of, this chapter is kind of like odd to me. I didn't really take much from it until the end. So if you just bear with me, I promise that there's, it's going somewhere. And that's why I love the Book of Ruth, is because of the way it ends. So in verses 13, so Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. Then he went to her and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, praise be the Lord who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has birth. Then Naomi took the child, laid him on her lap, and cared for him. The woman living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the family, was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram the father of Aminadab, and Aminadab the father of Nahshon. Nahshon the father of Solomon. Solomon the father of Boaz. Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David. Now, I want you guys to ask yourselves, because we know of David, we know of his huge role, basically his life and what he was to the Israelites when he became king. We know how important he was. So, when I look at the story of Ruth, to me, when I think of the Bible, Ruth is like, she's not really a historical person. She isn't really someone that strikes out. Like when people talk about like, oh, like what's your favorite story in the Bible or whatever, Ruth doesn't really pop up. Like, I don't know. Does anybody feel that way? 'Cause to me, I would be like, oh, Esther, or like Daniel, or you know, like Noah and all those stories. Like, so it doesn't, Ruth isn't really, the book kind of just slides and is in the Bible. And sometimes, you know, before this I'm like, what is Ruth all about, until I understood the ending. So I took it and I sat down and my family discussed it. So we were trying to kind of see Ruth as ourselves. So put yourself in Ruth's shoes. You're basically no one. You marry someone and then your partner dies. But then we see how important Ruth becomes throughout the Bible because of God's plan. She's so important because God knew he had a plan to use someone so, so simple, so that, you know, then Jesse, then the father of David, and then so the lineage goes on. So in God's eyes, no one is unimportant. You know, our names are written in the Book of Life. So I want you, what we get out of it,
did we all lose her?
Yeah, I did.
Let's see. She's still on the call. Oh, she's back, I think. Olivia?
She just left again.
Okay, let me text her. Let's see. If you guys want to dialogue about what she was sharing, I actually have to step away for a few minutes. I missed the last few minutes, but feel free.
Sure.
Somebody.
Sure, I mean, you look at it in like normal terms of like the Book of Ruth is not necessarily about a judge or a king, as like all the other books prior to it's kind of been about. But it's kind of about like a normal person, because these are kind of normal life events where someone may find themselves as a widow or a widower, or their situation, or someone moves to another country, or a basic essential situation of just trying to get food. Take very basic human concepts, and then at the end you kind of see, oh yeah, this is the start of the kingdom that pretty much we follow throughout the rest of the books of the kings, where the kingdom of Israel starts pretty much with David. You know, you have King Saul, but the real story, the family we follow is the family of David. And it's the same family that Jesus comes out of. So you don't get to the ending, you see, okay, it's a kind of a normal life story, but has a big consequence as you get to the ending of the book.
Yeah, I like Ruth. I like the story of Ruth because of a couple of things. Number one, you see what Ruth, a foreshadow of the work of Christ later on as a kinsman redeemer. But you also see kind of a romantic story that gives that I always kind of look at as God kind of writing the love story of those two together. And I really do like Ruth. And you also see an element of faithfulness in Ruth. Whereas she tells Naomi, no, I'm going to go, your people are my people, your God is my God, I'm going to go where you go. And so Ruth is a really beautiful story, and I always love it when we look at it. So,
hey guys, sorry, I think I came back. I'm
Welcome
so,
back.
So sorry.
You're good.
The Lord's working. I'm telling you guys, like, he just does not want me to continue. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, perfect. Okay, I don't really know where I got cut off. Like, I don't really, if you guys can tell me, maybe.
Well, what I recall is you were speaking about how the book finally connected with you and made sense when you got to the ending. And that's one of the last points I got from you.
Okay. So, we kind of, at the end, verses 18 to 22, kind of goes through with the lineage of basically the fathers, like the way it goes, and then we see that, you know, after Obed, we see that his father was Jesse, and we know that Jesse was the father of David, who was a great ruler for his time. And so it's the genealogy of David, basically. So God used someone so, so simple. And to me, I question sometimes myself. I'm just like, God, like, how are you using me? I have, like, nothing to offer. But we look at Ruth. She was someone so, so simple, but God had a plan for her, and God also has a plan for you. I don't want you, you know, there's days, obviously, you question and you doubt, but the story to me gives me that hope that someone like Ruth can be used to, you know, bring something so great that I can be used in God's work too. So in God's eyes, there is no one unimportant. God has a plan for each and every one of you. You might not see it now. I don't see what my purpose sometimes is. Sometimes I'm like, oh, this is right. But then God's like, no. So he takes that away. He's like adding other things. And I see his work, his hand leading me. And I think that if you let God take control, you will see his working hand. I know I did that throughout university and with other personal issues. You know, I was trying to do it all by myself. Like, I can do it. I can figure it out. Then it was so much to bear, like so much on my shoulder, that I was like, okay, God, I don't know what to do anymore. You know, you have to lift this off my shoulder. please just like help me. And then as soon as I just let it go, I just saw things just like, you know, working the way it's supposed to be. And I was just, that was an experience that I'll never forget. And I try, you know, to still like, we want to be in control of our lives. We want to know what happens next. We want to know, you know, a year from now, like what job we're going to have, or where are we going to move, or who we're going to marry, or are we going to be living somewhere else? You know, we want to know all these questions. And I'm a person who wants to know, you know, all this. I'm organized. I want a list. I want to see my planner be filled in perfectly, you know? So to me, it's very hard to let go and just like be okay. God, I have faith in you. Please just work your way and, you know, and then like, you know, let things go. So it's so, so hard. But this story just reassures me that, you know, someone as simple can be used, and you can be used in God's plan, and He has one for you. And then if anyone is able to get a memory, a verse for me, that would be awesome. It's in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 17, if anybody wants to read that.
I've got it. Give me just a second.
Perfect. Thank you.
Chapter 8?
Yeah, so Proverbs chapter 8, verses 14.
All right. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight. I have power.
So God, like that verse is so, so strong. That God has the power to do anything. And we know that. But sometimes we're like, oh, you know, we can't see God. So we just, you know, take Him for granted sometimes. But He has control. He has the power to do anything if you believe in Him and if you have faith. And then the last verse I wanted to share with you is in Jeremiah chapter 28. I could try and get it. Jeremiah 28. And then verses 11. So did I write that wrong? I think I wrote it wrong. I think I wrote it wrong. I'm sorry, guys.
Are you good?
I have, like, my Bible notes.
What did it say?
So it was one where, you know, if you pray and if you, it was definitely Jeremiah. I know it is.
Like, my people will call by my name, humble themselves, kind of one, or is that?
Yes. I think I wrote it wrong, though, when I was. One second.
That would be Jeremiah 29:11, if it's that one.
Is it? So then what am I reading?
28:11 talks about Nebuchadnezzar, but 29:11 is, I know the thoughts I have for you.
Yes, that's the one. Would you mind reading it for us?
No problem. It's, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future.
Yes, that is the right one. So that is honestly one of, I don't know why I wrote it wrong, but I always think about that because I remember when I was trying to get into university and things, I struggled. So I didn't know what path I was supposed to take. But God showed me. I know that I was driving in my car one morning. I was supposed to be going, I was going to school. And I was praying and I was like, God, show me a sign, you know. I like right now, basically, I was so, so upset that I didn't know I had one more day to basically accept, I had like four different, enrollments, eligible for different enrollments, different universities. And so I didn't know which one. And I was like, we prayed about it and we prayed about it. And we have like, when we get your letters, you know, you have a month to, you know, accept or reject. And I remember I was in the car and I was like, God, what's your plan? Like, I don't know right now. Because I felt like I could do, you know, I had two different paths that I wanted to take, but I didn't know which one I was meant to be for. And so I was in my car, I remember grade 12, I was driving to school in the morning, and I was like, God, show me where I'm supposed to be, where you need me to be. Do I need to be in the medical field or do I need to be in the educational field? And as soon as I said that out loud, and I get a call. So my car is a Bluetooth, and I get a call from the university that I attend right now. So I don't remember what it was. Because all I knew is that that was my sign, that God gave me that sign. To this day, I want to remember what that phone call was about. I don't remember. All I remember was just like how I said that. And then 2 seconds later, I don't even know, my phone's ringing and it's from that university. And that's where I went. And that's, thankfully, that's what I'm just trying to like, it was just like an emotional time. But no, like if you guys let God lead, he will show you. And, you know, when you have faith, I was just in the car, like, you know, it doesn't, you know, you have to think about prayer as like bending on your knees, you know, but I was literally driving and I just, you know, said a prayer out loud. And my sign, and I was like, God, show me a sign. And that was my sign. And so I'm so thankful that I went through the educational field, because I found out a few months later that I am no good with like being in a medical field kind of profession. But I'm so passionate about being in the classroom with the kids, and I'm going to be a teacher mm-hmm. next year. So it all worked out for me too. Worked out for me in the best way possible. And so, yeah, that's kind of my story. Sorry about everything that's been happening. I just like,
no, it's all good. It's all so miracle during the quarantine. Everything's a miracle, so.
Yeah, so that's kind of it. I just want you guys to know that, you know, God has a plan for each and every one of you. And just, like, wait, you know. And like we said, like, last week, too, you know, it took – Moses was like 80 years old when God gave him his like great plan, and like, you know, it takes time. So just like be patient with God. God will use you, and you will be surprised that how much you're going to do and how much of the inspiration you're going to be to others. So with that being said, do you guys have any like discussion questions or like something that you guys want to share? Maybe you guys have a personal experience when you know, you guys prayed and, you know, faith, you showed your faith and God answered your prayer. If you guys want to share, that's totally cool.
Well, I do remember like 2 years ago, mm-hmm. I was like in between jobs and I was trying to struggle between like 3 different opportunities. Yeah. It was one that seemed to fit, but the schedule was kind of not working for me, and mm-hmm. another one that seemed to fit okay as far as schedule, but it was only supposed to be for 2 weeks. I was mm-hmm. like, oh, that don't sound good at all. But in IT, sometimes those kind of jobs show up, and I was like, okay, Lord, I'm kind of really need to get any money, so I kind of take whatever I can get. And I turned down the other position and went for the 2 week position. And I just kind of just worked that 2 weeks. And while I worked there, they kept extending my contract for that job until today. I've been at that same job for about 2 years.
Wow.
So
that's amazing.
It was strange. Every day I just kind of like, okay, Lord, I'm just thankful for this. But it taught me that you can't always judge something just because of where you see it or where you think it may go to. And sometimes when mm-hmm. God gives you a door, we may be looking at it, it's like, God, well, I don't think that door is for me. I don't think mm-hmm. I've been a Moabitess my whole life. I don't think I should go into Israel right now. But mm-hmm. You have to willing to take God where if God just gave you like just a step, you gotta trust that he gave him, he has the whole staircase over there. He's not leaving you to a staircase with no steps on it. And that's one of those things. And that's a one situation. I'm thankful for being able to take that leap, because I don't know if I'll do that now, but I'm thankful for that God made that happen.
That's awesome. Thank you, Timothy. Like, yeah, we're truly blessed sometimes the way God works in our lives. It's super wonderful. Does anybody else want to share, or what time is it? Nobody else's story. That's cool.
I'd like to share, if you guys don't mind. I'm new this week. I just found you guys earlier. So hi, I'm Kara. And I'm actually
a
school teacher as well. And when I was going to school, my main goal for where I wanted to work was in North Carolina, where I grew up. And it was one of those things where I had been praying about it, and that was like my main goal. And then I'm applying for jobs, and jobs are popping up, and none of them are in the Carolina Conference. And it's just not working out, not working out. And finally, I get a job out of the blue in Maine. And I move to Maine, and everyone's, you know, are you sure you want to move to Maine? And it was where I felt for sure that God was calling me. And so it's where I went. And when I was in Maine, like, I got settled, and I was really comfortable, and I met one of my best friends there and everything. And then everything just kind of crashed and burned at the end of the year, where in February I found out I was losing my job and that my position was no longer going to be there. And it literally just felt like my world was ending, like my first year of teaching, and I'm having to leave my little five-year-old kindergarteners and everything. And the job that God opened up for me was where I had wanted to be teaching, where I needed to go, and I needed to spend that year. And the school that I spent the year at prepared me to be in a leadership position at the new school that I'm at, because I'm the head teacher there. And it was just one of those things where God has such an interesting path for us throughout our lives, that we have no idea what the current situation that we're in, how it's preparing us for the situation that is to come. And how my current situation is now preparing me for the situation after this. And so it's just one of those things where I look at it with amazement, just the intricacies that God plans our life with. Like, even with me finding this group, I've been praying so much lately, because I'm socially isolated and I live by myself and everything. And I've been praying to find a way to find other young people to be able to connect with, and this group this week. And so it's just so awesome, all the plans he has for us. And Jeremiah 29:11 is my favorite Bible verse. And it's just awesome how we have no idea where we're going next, but God knows, and it's the best plan we could possibly have.
Amen. Preach.
Thank you for sharing so much. I'm sure we all have our, I like to say, God moments. Like, when we have those moments, such just that connection with God. And those ones I have, I just have like a prayer journal, and I write them in. Sometimes when I'm like, you know, I kind of doubt, or I have a situation, I go back and be like, okay, look what God did for you. You know, he's done this. He's blessed you with all this. You know, he's answered so many of your prayers. So why are you doubting him now? Like, why are you doing this to him? Like, why are you doing this to your friendship? So I go back and I, you know, I basically just like talk to myself, like, what are you doing, Olivia? Like, do you God's done all this and you're still having doubts? Like, you're still thinking that he's not going to take control. You still think that he's not going to want the best for you. And so that are those little questions that you should ask yourself. And I know right now, you know, we're all isolating, we're all thinking about what's going to happen, you know, and I still do that. Like, you think God is not in control? You think that, you know, he doesn't have a plan? We don't see it. We don't see it. Like, I don't see it. I don't think none of us can. But I think there's a greater plan. So to me, I just, you know, pray, and I'm just like, you know, God's in control. He's done this and this. And, you know, I think that in the end, we're going to look back and we're like, wow, okay, so this is where God's work has been. And so, I know that's kind of like my devotional, messy devotional today, which is one of those. Anyways, it'll be better, I promise. but anyways, I hope that you guys got something from that. That's next week where I'm going to start something else, but that's why I really love Ruth, because of how much you actually get from it. Each chapter gives you like a great, I say like life lesson or something to take out of it. And it's so simple. And anyways, so do you guys have any prayer requests that we can, you guys can text or type in, or you guys can just unmute yourselves and say them. I'm sorry if you guys hear my dog barking. I'm like outside.
So I actually started back at work this week. I work at the National Institute of Health in Maryland, and I was working from home for about 4 or 5 weeks, but this week we started doing testing on site. So just like praying for me and all of the other essential workers that are facing kind of the front lines of some of the coronavirus and all the dangers with that, but still like making a difference.
Yes, of course. Definitely. We're going to go into a bad breakup. Okay. For your solutions. Oh, wow. That's awesome. So there's some in the chat. And continuous prayer for... Thanksgiving. Continuous prayer for essential workers, for frontline workers, everyone who's out there every day, you know, putting their life at risk. Like you said, awesome. So would anybody, if my friend needs to find a new place to live in? Okay, so that. Sorry, I don't know if I'm getting them right. I can't see. Would anybody like to pray? I can pray. I just don't want to, like, it's kind of windy, so I'm not sure if it's going to, like, be okay or not.
Yeah, I can pray. I'll pray over these.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Dear Father, we thank you for being able to see faces, Lord, and hear voices, Lord, and deal with people, Lord. We're in quarantine, and you know how it's how the human connection that you were created us for, but you're still making a way somehow. Lord, I'm praying Matthew, and he's praying for salvation for his loved ones, also for wisdom on which path to take publishing his book. Lord, we're also praying for our dear friend Kevin's salvation, that you would help him in his walk and lead him to the correct way, Lord. And we're praying for our friends that need to find a place to live, Lord. A place to live, Lord. Just like in the story right here, Ruth had to find a place to live. We ask you to help this person find a place to live. We have 5 kids, harder to find a home than a pet, Lord. We pray, Lord. That's a double blessing on that prayer, Lord. And also praying for a friend who's going through a bad breakup, Lord. You mend the hearts, Lord, and you help us to move on in our lives to where we need to go. Pray for this meeting we have tonight, and thank you for the words you've given us, Lord. You promised that it would not return void back to you, and that you tune to bless us and have a great rest of the week, and we'll meet again soon. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you so, so much.